A big hand for Pete and Kylie Watson. Woohoo! Awesome. All right. Now, if you'd like to take out your notes, everyone, we always encourage people whenever there's a sermon at New Hope to write down all the details, all the wonderful Bible verses, the dad jokes, all the good stuff that you're learning. How many of you know you learn better when you write things down? So write stuff down. Take out your tablets and your devices. Don't check your Facebook. Just make your notes. And encourage you to take note of this and then study it and feed yourself on it throughout the week. We're continuing a series on the book of Proverbs at the moment. And today, if you've got your Bibles, we're looking at Proverbs 11 and 12. And we'll have the scriptures on the screen for you to follow along as well. You know, a couple of days ago, Carol and I watched the movie Cross and the Switchblade about Nikki Cruz and David Wilkerson. Who's seen that movie or read that book? Such a great movie. Such a great testimony of David Wilkerson, who God called him to go into the inner city of New York and go into these gangs where they were beating each other up, they were stabbing each other, there was horrible gang violence and drugs. And here he was, this country preacher, and he just went in, and there was some guy that was saying how fancy his shoes were. He took off his shoes and he gave them to this young kid and said, "Here you go. Jesus loves you. Have these shoes." And so he's walking around barefoot. All of a sudden, he goes into this den of where all these gang members are, and they're all shooting up drugs, and they're all talking about having a big gang fight. And he stands in the middle, and he says to them, "God loves you. God has a plan for you. God has called you." And these guys are going, "Who is this cat? Who does this dude think he is coming in telling us about Jesus?" You know, but you know what? He didn't care what people thought, because he was standing firm on the word of God. Amen. He was going in with boldness. And I've got to warn you guys, I was so fired up after watching this movie. And I thought, you know what, I've got to be a bit more bold. Anybody here want to be more bold? And you know how we get bold? We sharpen the sword of the Spirit, amen? We pick up God's word and we speak the truth of God's word. How many of you know God's word won't return to him void, but will accomplish that which it's sent for, amen? When we speak God's word, it is the ultimate weapon against the enemy. So today we're going to get into God's word. And I encourage you to sharpen your sword. You know what? In this day and age, it is so hard to get people's attention. People get distracted so easily. They're expecting a big Hollywood blockbuster movie every time someone gets up to preach. But you know what? I really believe, I just want to throw out this challenge to you. When you hear God's word, have a heart to receive. Amen? I really believe that's what that vision was the Lord gave me in the prayer meeting this morning. A lot of people have their eyes with cataracts and they're cloudy. And they can't see what God is doing. But God wants to say, "I want to cut that out. And I want you to see clearly what God is saying today." So we're going to pray in just a moment. And I'm going to pray that every one of us has a heart to receive the word of God today. Amen? I'm not just some dude getting up, rattling off some random thoughts today. God put me in this church to teach his word and to make an impact to change this city for God. Amen? And I want everyone, when you hear the word of God, I want you to have a hungry heart to receive. Amen? Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father God, today as we open your word, we want to receive what you have to say to us. We don't just want to get some knowledge. We want to get wisdom from you. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. God, help us sharpen our swords so that we can be the men and women of God you've called us to be. Give us boldness, Lord God. As we receive your word, may we have a hunger to share your word wherever we go. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. So we're looking at Proverbs 11. Now, we've been preaching through the first 10 chapters of Proverbs so far. And I threw out a few challenges for people to memorize some Proverbs. And does anybody remember the most famous proverb, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Who can yell that out for me? Okay, Kate over here, I'll give you the microphone too. Do you remember that one?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on your own understanding. With all, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path.
Yeah, come on, give her a big hand. Awesome. Actually, just come over here for a sec. Can you do that one in sign for me? Kate teaches sign as well. I love sign. So for the Facebook, hey everyone on Facebook Live. All right. So trust in the Lord. How's it go? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. and he'll direct your paths. Oh, come on, give her a big hand. Isn't that awesome? Love it. Does anybody else have a favorite proverb they can shout out for me? I asked my mate yesterday, and he said Proverbs 31 is his favorite one. It's about my wife, actually, Proverbs 31, if you haven't read it yet. Maybe your wife too, I'm not sure. Anyone else got a favorite? Yes, Pastor Oscar. Okay, we better put the microphone up for this.
If your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he says to give him a drink, by doing so, it's like pouring hot coal in his head, and he will be put to shame.
Come on, that's a good one. Give me a hand. Who else got a favorite proverb? Yes, up the back. Oh, look, this is like Oprah. Come on down.
Yeah. Iron sharpens iron and that of his friend.
That's right. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I love it. Okay, anybody else got a favorite proverb they want to share? What about the fireplace guys over here? Come on, the fireplace guys have to have a proverb over here. You're pointing to your wife here. Proverbs 31, is that what you, she's like a, yeah. One of my favorite preachers, Stephen Furtick, he says, I'm like Rain Man with Bible verses. I know them all. I love it. So, yeah, what do you got for us?
31 is good.
What, just give us a bit of Proverbs 31.
Now you put me on the spot.
On the spot. Proverbs 31. Over here.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's a good one.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Oh, boom. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right, Andrew, what do you got for us, mate?
There's no point being a snake charmer if you've already bitten.
Is that from the Bible? Okay. All right. Okay, right. Someone Google that. I just want to clarify that.
Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Oh, so important what our thoughts are. That's good. Okay, yeah, now we'll get to Proverbs 31 in a few weeks, everyone. So you'll get to know what it is then. okay, so let's look at Proverbs 11, verse 1. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless makes their path straight, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. I'm just going to pause there. Those first six verses there of Proverbs 11, you can see there's a common theme there about integrity, about the Lord detesting dishonest scales. You can imagine the picture of that. You can imagine in a market of someone having scales, and they'll have the weights on the other and maybe the spices or whatever they're going to buy on the other. And you can imagine them just putting their finger on the scale a little bit and weighing it down a bit more so it costs more. That's called dishonesty. That's called, you know, stealing. That's theft. That's dishonesty. The Lord detests dishonest scales, or you can rig scales to be dishonest. A lot of gambling and casino things are actually rigged if you research it, if you look into it. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. We know the word says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to those who are humble in their hearts. You know, a bit of my testimony, I started out selling air for a living when I was 19 years old. I was working for a radio station selling airtime. So my job was to sell radio ads. And I started out, I was a youth pastor at a C3 church in Coffs Harbour. I thought after Bible college they'd offer me a full-time job as a youth pastor. But when I moved to the church, they said, no, you have to go get a job as a tent maker. We haven't got any money. So I started working full-time and being a youth pastor on the side. And I was selling air at the radio station, and I was not very good at first. I'd go out and I'd see these, I was 19 years old. You know, I had hair back then. I had kind of fluffy, curly, blonde, surfy hair. My clothes were daggy, you know. Anyway, I'd go out and I'd see these business people and try and get them to buy advertising from me. And I was hopeless. I couldn't get a word right. I couldn't remember how much the ads cost. I'd be nervous. I'd mess things up all the time. And then I started learning to pray about the way God would use me in business as a sales representative. And I started asking God to give me wisdom. And then within 18 months, I went from the worst sales rep at the radio station to the number one sales rep in 18 months, all because I just put God first, amen? And if you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your paths. Seek God first and all these blessings will come. So anyway, so over the years, cutting a long story short, I've worked at radio stations all the time, doing advertising and things like that and announcing. And then when I started working at 96.5, I was there for 5 years as the sales manager. We started out with three staff in the sales team. Over the 4 years we were there, we doubled it to six. Our budget was $400,000. Next year it went to $800,000, then $1.2 million, then $1.4 million. We had incredible growth over those 4 years. And the key was, when I started at the radio station, Carol and I just got married, and I just wanted to make lots of money. I just wanted to have the best of the best for my beautiful wife. So I just focused on making money. And then I did this course called Business by the Book from Crown Financial Ministries. And they taught us that the whole earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All of your finances, everything you have is God's. And if you put God first and you trust him with everything, he will bless you. He'll look after you. So I changed from just trying to get the sale and you know, to actually praying for my clients. And I trained my sales team. We're going to pray for our clients. We're going to put God first. And over that 4 years, we had incredible growth. And one of the stories was a car salesman named Ashley. Now, Ashley was a little Welsh fella. He's about this tall. Oh, no, about that tall, Ashley, I think. Yeah. He was a lovely little Welsh fella. I went into see him for advertising one day at Southside Toyota. And I walked in and said to him, hey, we've got this great radio station. We're reaching families around Brisbane. What do you think? And he goes, I'll sign up for a one-year ad campaign for $13,000. And back then, that was really good money. And I'd get a good commission out of that too. Thank you, Jesus. So I was like, oh, that's great. I said, oh, by the way, can I pray for you? And he goes, oh, no, it wouldn't do any good praying for me. Wouldn't do any good. All of a sudden, he sounded Irish. Did you notice that? Anyway, I said, oh, look, we're running this alpha course at the radio station. Why don't you come and find out about, oh, no, sorry, I said, we're running an alpha course. Why don't you come? And he goes, I couldn't go to church. The roof would cave in if I walked into church. And I said, well, it's not a church. It's at a radio station. Why don't you come? And he goes, oh, a radio. I'd like to see the way a radio station works. I'd like to go. He's Irish again. Did you notice? Anyway, so he came along to the alpha group. And every week he'd ask questions. What about the Bible? What about evolution? What about God? What about this and that? And then he said, you know what? I think this is real. This is the real deal. And I said, do you want to pray the prayer? Do you want to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? And he goes, oh, no, too many questions, too many questions. He wasn't ready. Anyway, 1 week at Alpha, Carol and I were running Alpha, weren't we? He came in. He said, guess what? I did it. I said, what? He said, I read the prayer in the back of the book, and I prayed it. I said, oh, that's great. He said, but nothing happened. And I said, well, when you pray the prayer, it's a prayer of faith. You don't need to have angels appearing and a great revelation before God. It's a step of faith in your heart, you know. And he goes, yeah, I might give it another lash on the weekend and see how it goes. Anyway, Ashley ended up being one of the leaders at Alpha. He brought his mate Ronnie, a plastic welder. He came to faith through Alpha. And then he brought a couple other mates and they got saved. He started running Alpha. He then left Southside Toyota and went to Southside Honda. He started running Alpha at Southside Honda every Saturday lunchtime. And he told the staff, come to Alpha on Saturday or you don't have a job on Monday. So he's getting the whole car yard to come in and do the Alpha course. And it was awesome. So I thought, this is good. This is good. This guy's on fire. And so I invited him to come and do this Business by the Book course. This course which teaches you that all your finances are God's and you've got to be full of integrity. Like it says here, the Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. And when he came to this Crown Financial Ministries course and realized he had to be honest, he said, I've got to leave the car industry. He said, I can't sell cars anymore. He said, the whole industry is based on lies. And upselling and being dodgy. And he said, I won't make any money if I'm honest in what I do. And I said, well, Ashley, do you trust God? He's like, oh, let me think about that. And you know what? He became an honest car salesman. They are out there. Believe me, there are some. And he transformed his business where he would no longer do all the dodgy things they do in the trade. He would put God first. And he became so successful, he went on to two other car yards and turned them around for God, becoming general manager at these other car yards. Because when you put God first, he blesses you. Amen? And this is what we're looking at in this passage here. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless makes their paths straight, but the wicked are brought down by their wickedness. We've been looking through the book of Proverbs, and we saw that you can either go God's way and put God first. You can fear God and put him first and honor him in your words, your thoughts, your actions, your finances, everything. Or you can go your own selfish way, the way of the wicked, the way of dishonesty, the way that lacks integrity. And throughout Scripture, a lot of the Proverbs you'll see says you can do it God's way or you can do it the world's way. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by their evil desires. Let's go to verse 7. Hopes placed in mortals die with them. All the promise of their power comes to nothing. The righteous person is rescued from trouble, and it falls on the wicked instead. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. Everyone say rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but the mouth of the wicked is destroyed. You know, I truly believe that if we get a revelation from God about being righteous, about being honorable, about putting God first, we will receive a blessing and the city will receive a blessing. Amen? Who wants to see Brisbane blessed? You know, we look at that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's great, but the next bit's even better. Then you will call upon me and find me and seek me with some of your heart. Is that what it says? It says you'll find me and seek me when you'll find me when you seek me with 99% of your heart. Is that what it says? It says you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. In Jeremiah, it goes on and it says, go and marry and settle in the city and pray for the peace and prosperity of the city you're in. Amen? That's what our call is as the church. We're called to be a city on a hill, a light on the light of the world shining over this city. When we put God first, the city will be blessed. Amen? We really believe it. I'm part of the Lord Mayor's Prayer Committee, Prayer Breakfast Committee. We meet with a whole bunch of different ministers and we gathered together. Pete Watson from our team recently prayed this amazing prayer at the Lord Mayor's Prayer Breakfast over our mayor, over our councillors, that they'll be godly, that they'll fear God, that they'll honour God. And I just love the fact that our Lord Mayor invited us to come in and pray for him in front of hundreds of ministry leaders across the city. How many of you know the city should be coming to the church for the answers, amen? You know what? They're throwing millions and millions of dollars at the ice addiction problem. Around Australia. I tell you, these guys have got the answer over here. Jesus has got the answer, amen, for the problem in Australia. I believe that when we put God first, it says in verse 10, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But the mouth of the wicked is destroyed. Anybody seen the Transformations videos that were around in the 80s and the 90s? Yeah? For those that haven't seen it, it's run by the Sentinel Group, a guy named George Barner, I think was his name. They went and did a documentary in four cities around the world. I think one of them was Guatemala. I can't remember where the others were, but there were four cities around the world that were experiencing revival. One of them had 92% of its population were born again. City jails were closed because there was a lack of crime. Agricultural productivity had reached biblical proportions. They showed on the video, they showed carrots the size of my forearm. Massive carrots, massive potatoes, massive grapes. The land was blessed because revival had come to the land. Amen? Revival came to the church in the city, but it came to the land as well. How many of you know God blesses the land when revival comes? We need to believe that when we put God first, when we follow him, when we honor him, the city will rejoice. Miracles will happen. I was catching up with my good buddy Hilton from the Bible League this week. Bible League and Vision Radio did a partnership a few years ago where we raised money for 19,000 Bibles to be distributed in prisons around Australia. And he's been praying. We've been praying for prisoners in Australia to have encounters with God, and we're hearing so many testimonies. A lot of them are listening to Vision Radio and reading the Word for today. They're listening to History Makers. We're getting emails and people contacting us saying that God's reaching them in the prisons. And it's so good because it really is a captive audience that we've got there too. But you know what? Even though they're behind bars, they can get set free on the inside. Amen? And I just heard him say the other day that the prison population increases by 6% every year in Australia. But this last year, it only increased 4%. In Northern Territory, where we sent 500 Bibles to the 500 prison Bibles to the prison there, it's the only section of Australia that didn't have an increase. It actually decreased in numbers because Bibles are going into those prisons. And they're not Bibles with, you know, you open them up and there's a shiv inside so you can get out. It's not that kind of prison Bible. And some guys are using them for rollies, you know. They're ripping out and then smoking cigarettes with the paper because it's nice thin paper. And there's a story that Nicky Gumbel tells on Alpha where one guy rolled through Matthew, Mark and Luke, and then he got to John 3:16 and went, whoa! And he gave up the cigarettes and gave his life to Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you know God's Word can change lives? I really believe that we need to have a vision. As we seek God, as we put him first, as we honor what his word says in the book of Proverbs, the city will rejoice. Amen. We'll see a transformation in this nation. Verse 12, whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. So I've got a confession to make in front of my gorgeous wife here. I got really angry the other day. Now you all know me as Pastor Matt. Meek and mild, sweet, nice, funny, good looking, all those, you know. What's so funny? What are you laughing at? Anyway, so we've been moving house over the last couple of weeks. And I won't go into all the details, but we've been working with some relatives who believed it should be done a certain way. And I said, no, I think it should be done this way. And I got told a lot of information the other day of how I should be doing things. And as I was being told this information, I just zipped my lip and bit my tongue and thought of verses like this. The one who has understanding holds their tongue. And the proverb was going through my mind. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who guards his tongue is wise. And that one over there, the power of life and death is in the tongue. And I had to hold my tongue so tight the other day. But inside, I was so angry. I was so mad. But I had to have self-control. I had to just calm my farm, you know. I had to just take a chill pill. I just had to relax and go, okay, you know. Anyway, so after the meal finished, we went home. And then Carol heard it all. But then she just loved me and cuddled me and calmed my farm. And I chilled out. And the funny thing is that one of the relatives is a nominal Christian, goes to church Christmas and Easter, and is a believer but just doesn't go to church. But anyway, the next morning I arrived to pick up something from this relative's house, and they said, oh, God's given me a word for you. I'm like, okay. And remember that I hardly said anything at the dinner. Anyway, so the word was from the book of James, the verse that says, the tongue is like a fire. If you don't control it, it'll set a bushfire on light and it'll cause so much trouble. So guard your tongue. And I humbly received that word. And I said, thank you so much for that verse. I'll pray about it. I really appreciate it. I'll pray about that. Thank you very much. And Carol and I shared with Carol. I said, guess what? They gave me a Bible verse. Isn't that awesome? I'm just excited that they gave me a Bible verse. That's a, you know. And Carol said, I think that verse was for all of us, which is very diplomatic of her. But how many of you know we need to learn to hold our tongue? If I let fly the other night, I probably would have, you know, there would have been a lot of trouble. How many of you know loose lips sink ships, you know? How many of you know that if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all? Guard your tongue, guard your mouth. So many times I've opened my mouth to change feet, I'm telling you. You just, it's better to say nothing. It's better just to, whoa, just calm your thumb. Hold, just, what does it say there? The one who has understanding holds their tongue. Then it goes on, it says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. We need to be careful, particularly in churches. How many of you know that prayer meetings can be the worst? Lord, I pray for Glenn and Maureen, who've got that real problem with what they're going through right now. And Lord, they just told me in secret, but I just need to say it to the prayer group. Lord, what they're going through, it's bad, Lord. Would you just help them? Oh, my goodness, they need a miracle, Lord Jesus. You know? No, there's nothing going on, is there? Everything's okay. Good, yeah. I was a bit worried as a word of knowledge for saying that it wasn't. But how many times have we done that in church? Let me tell you what's happening to such and such so you can pray for them. No. You gotta learn. If someone gives you a secret, you gotta learn to keep it. Amen. You gotta learn to honor others. Don't betray people's confidence. Honor people. Verse 14: for lack of guidance, a nation falls. But victory is won through many advisors. You know, this has been something that's been a real life verse for me over the years. I'm always asking, you know, the elders of the church, other pastors. Great men and women that I look up to, I'm always asking for advice. I think there's a wisdom is found in the counsel of many is another version of that verse. We need to always be looking for wise counsel from people. Verse 15, whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to shake hands in pledge is safe. A kind-hearted woman gains honor, but ruthless men gain only wealth. Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Truly the righteous attain life, but whoever pursues evil finds death. The Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. I used to be really good at telling dirty jokes when I was a teenager. That used to be my way that I'd try and become popular at school. I always had a sharp tongue. I'd talk back to the teachers or I'd tell dirty jokes. Even when I started out in radio at the age of 15, I'd be the guy on the radio that was smutty or dirty and tell the dirty jokes. And then I came to Christ halfway through that year at a youth camp and felt convicted. Every time I started to tell a dirty joke, I'd like, oh. I don't want to be perverse. I don't want to be rude. I don't want, you know. And ended up starting, they ended up taking me off that radio show and gave me the Christian radio show because they knew I'd be better at that, you know. But you know what? It's very much a part of the Aussie culture to be perverse and tell dirty jokes and rude. We've got to make sure, and it starts with our heart. We've got to make sure that God cleans out our hearts. He delights in those whose ways are blameless. Be sure of this. The wicked will go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. And I love this one. I've actually got a picture on the screen for this one. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. You see the beautiful pig there? You know, they put rings in pigs' snouts so they couldn't dig out of their pig pen. There's another version of this that says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who has no self-control. It's basically saying that self-control and discretion and purity and honoring God is so much more important than the outward appearance. Think about a pig. I mean, what a waste having a beautiful, pure gold ring in a pig's nose. What a waste. So it is a waste when beautiful women have no discretion, no self-control. And it's not just women. It would go for men as well. But Solomon was pretty creative with some of these proverbs, wasn't he, you know? How many of you believe he was inspired by God with all this stuff, eh? There's so much wisdom in these. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Who wants to be refreshed? There's a spiritual principle in there. When you're generous, when you sow a seed, you'll reap a harvest. When you give, God looks after you. You get refreshed when you bless others, and not just financially. I don't know about you, but Friday is my favorite day of the week. The King's Table Soup Kitchen, I love it. I spring out of bed. I'm excited. We go and pick people up. I'm excited. We get different speakers, or I preach, whatever. I love it because we're giving people food. We're giving people clothes. More importantly, people are coming to know Jesus. People are getting their lives transformed. And I get refreshed by refreshing others. I really believe that's one of the biggest problems with the I generation we're in right now. We've got our iPhones, our iPads, our I this, our I that. It's all about me, me, me. But listen to that radio station, WIIFM, what's in it for me? People live for themselves. And is there any wonder there's so much depression and anxiety and suicidal tendencies? Ever wonder why, if you're trying to satisfy yourself all the time, that's an empty, shallow, hollow life. If you want joy, you put Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. J-O-Y, joy. See what I did there? You like that? Yeah. Jesus first, others second, yourself third. That is the secret to contentment. That is the secret to being refreshed. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Verse 26, people curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. Whoever seeks God finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Whoever brings ruin on their family will inherit only wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. Everyone say, saves lives. I remember hearing that verse at Bible college and determining in my heart I was going to save lives wherever I go. He who wins souls is wise is another version there. You know, now this is Old Covenant, Old Testament. So clearly to save a soul back then was a little different than what it means in the New Covenant to save a soul. It means giving your life to Christ and being born again. Here in this context, it means saving someone, helping them out, saving them from whatever pit they're in or whatever trouble they're in, saving them. Either way, we've got to save souls because that's wise, amen? Verse 31, if the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Proverbs 12, verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Everyone say stupid. I reckon sometimes Solomon was up late at night going, I'm just going to tell it like it is. I'm not going to be nice. I'm just going to say, if you hate correction, you're stupid. That's it, straight away. Good on you, Solomon. Well, of course, this is a different version than the Hebrew version. But anyway, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Whoever hates correction is stupid. I really believe that you can tell a person's character by how they respond when they're corrected. I can tell what my kids' character is like when I discipline them, when I correct them. I have certain children that are not teachable and correctable. And whenever we try to correct that certain child, I've got three, you can guess which one it is, I'm not saying. They just cannot accept it. They come up with an excuse straight away. They put up a big wall. They run off and scream. They cannot accept it. And we keep saying over and over, Mummy and Daddy love you. We are correcting you and disciplining you because we want you to learn from your mistakes. We want you to turn out better. We want things to go well for you. We're not trying to correct you and discipline you because we hate you. It's because we love you. God disciplines those he loves. Amen. We should welcome correction and instruction. We should love it when we get disciplined. I would be worried if you're not getting disciplined by God. Maybe you're not listening. Maybe you're hard-hearted and you're stubborn and you're rejecting instruction. You should welcome instruction and discipline from the Lord and from our elders, those who are leaders over us. We should welcome it. Good people obtain favor from the Lord, but he condemns those who devise wicked schemes. No one can be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. That's you, honey. Proverbs 31, right there. But a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Verse 5, the plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. Wow, just think about that. You want to be rescued? Your speech, honoring God, putting him first, that God can give you the right words to say to rescue you. Verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. A person is praised according to their prudence, and one with a warped mind is despised. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. The righteous care for the needs of their animals, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. How many of you know you can tell a person's character by the way they treat animals? Another thing to honor my beautiful wife, when we first started dating, she had Annie and Jufta. Is that their names? Anna and Jufta. Anna and Jufta. Two beautiful puppy dogs that she would take them for walks. She would let them come. Whenever there was a storm, she'd let them come in and she'd care for them. And, you know, but these dogs didn't like me, because I would take her away all the time. It wasn't anything to do with my character, I don't think. Anyway. But they grew to like me because I was around all the time. And I just remember the way she talked to these puppy dogs. She'd just take them to Sandgate and walk along the beach. And whenever we drive down there, she goes, that's where I used to take Anna and Jufta for a walk. Oh, they love that they play. She just loved these dogs so much. And it was one of the things that attracted me to her so much. She cared for these dogs, and she cares for everyone in her life. But it showed her character. It showed her heart. And I'd been through quite a tough time in my life and had grown to be quite hard-hearted just before we started dating. I'd been through a divorce. I'd been through all sorts of struggles and job loss and loneliness and all sorts of struggles. And I felt like my dreams had been taken away. And when Carol and I started dating and I fell in love with her, I loved the way that she cared for her animals, but I loved the way she just loved everyone. I had never seen anyone love people as much as her. And I'd never seen anyone cry as much as her as well. And I hadn't cried for years. And I became a crybaby after marrying Carol. Because of osmosis. You know, when you hang around someone, it changes you. My heart was softened through my time with her. And I want to challenge you, you know. We've got to love everyone, whether it's an animal, a person. Love is the key, amen? Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Verse 11, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. Everybody say work. We're all called to do hard work. There is nothing, it's a great feeling to get home after a hard day's work, to show that you've done your work, you've earned your money, you've worked hard. And I think there's a generation today that we need to teach and equip to work. So many young people, they change jobs every year, they can't commit to anything. If the conditions aren't perfect and right, they'll move on looking for something better, thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it, amen? You work hard where you're planted, God will bless you. Even if it's unfavorable circumstances, even if it's a hostile environment, even if it's tough work, you be faithful where God has put you, he'll bless you with something greater, amen? It's been the story of my career all through my life. Whenever I was in every workplace, I would always try to honor my boss, work with all my heart. You know, the Bible says in Colossians, work is unto the Lord, not for men, amen? Jesus is your boss wherever you're working, amen? So give it your best. Christians should have the best witness in the workplace, amen? We should be the hardest workers. We should be there punctual. We should be there being generous. We should be offering to make teas and coffees for everyone. We should be the most hospitable, loving workmates ever because Jesus lives inside of us, amen? There's a story about this Welsh preacher who got up and I love the Welsh, you know. This Welsh preacher got up to preach for 45 minutes. He said, God is awesome. God is mighty. God is powerful. God is incredible. God is beautiful. God is amazing. 45 minutes. Every adjective you could think of to describe how amazing God was. God is wonderful. God is blessed. God is mighty. 45 minutes. And then at the end, he just said, God is great. And he said, and if this God lives in you, surely the neighbors should notice. And then he walked off. That was it. If this God lives in you, surely the neighbors should notice. Amen. The creator of heaven and earth gives you his Holy Spirit when you come to Christ. And you start to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. You function in the gifts of the Spirit. You reflect Christ wherever you go. Amen. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Verse 12, the wicked desire the stronghold of evildoers, but the root of the righteous endures. Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. Everyone say reward. You work hard, you get rewards. The way of the fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Whew. That's a good, let's just selah. Let's just rest on that one for a moment. Don't be a hothead. Stop. Think. The book of James says, so Proverbs is a book of wisdom. The book of James is another book of wisdom in the New Testament. And it says, be slow to speak, quick to listen. So important. We guard our tongues. We control our temper. Verse 17, an honest, yeah, my wife's saying amen. Is that because I need to? Oh, no. I only got cranky once, honey. I've been good for a while, haven't I? Once this week. Oh. Verse 18. No, verse 17. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Oh, come on. Can somebody say amen to that? The tongue of the wise brings healing. Let me tell you, the number of times as a pastor, I've had someone ring me up or someone come up at the altar call and they've just told me the worst, like nothing shocks me anymore. You cannot shock me, let me tell you. I've heard the worst of the worst of the worst stories ever. And they ask, can you pray for me? Or what should I do? And I'm only 43. I'm just a young whippersnapper, right? A little bit over the hill, but not too far. But for 25 years now, as a youth pastor and as a senior pastor, whenever someone asks me, what should I do or can you pray for me? I'll have that little voice in my head from the devil saying, what have you got to say? How can you help? What do you know? You're a sinner. You're just young. You're a clown. You got no advice. You're a fool. You got nothing to give. Anybody hear that evil voice from the devil sometimes? That's on that shoulder. But then the Holy Spirit and the angels and whatever. Then Matt, you got this. The Holy Spirit says, I'll give you the right words to say at the right time. Because the tongue of the wise brings healing. And it's not me that's wise. But if I have Jesus in me, I can have his wisdom. Amen. I ask for wisdom every day, several times, dozens of times, believe me. Sometimes I shoot up an arrow prayer real quick. It's like, God, I got nothing. What? And then, boom, he gives me the words to say. We need to tune in to God's frequency. You want to listen to Vision Radio? You go to 87.6 or 87.8 and you can hear it nice and clear. Or if you can't get it, you can listen through the app. That's the other. You want to hear God, you've got to tune into him. You've got to worship him. I put my antennas up and say, God, what do you want to say? And we focus on him and he speaks to us. And then the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. Everyone say peace. Christians are peace bringers, amen? We bring peace into the situation wherever we go. We change the atmosphere wherever we go, amen? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. See these beautiful feet? Nike, just do it. See that? Just do it. Just bring peace wherever you go. Amen? Bring peace. Not the, you know, all we are saying is give peace. You're not that kind of 60s peace. That's not the kind of peace I'm talking about. They tried to find peace in their pot, didn't they? They're trying to find peace in their sexual revolution. Where did that get the world? Look at the mess we're in. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen? He is, you know, that word peace comes from the Hebrew word shalom. Peace, prosperity, blessing, favor. Everything comes when you say shalom. That's what we need, the shalom of God, amen? We need peace. You know, my daughter Lydia, she's 20. She's nearly as gifted as me at telling jokes. One day Josh wouldn't eat his peas. And she goes, come on, Josh, give peas a chance. I was so impressed. That has nothing to do with the sermon. Let's get back into it. Some of you, that's the only thing you'll remember from the sermon. And shame on you. You should remember the good bits, not the bad bits. Or, come on, Matt. Get in the game. Focus. Focus. Yes, honey, I'm getting back to it. It's okay. Where are we up to? Verse 20. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No harm overtakes the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Everyone say a kind word. Put your hand up if you can give someone a kind word. You are the answer to one of the biggest problems our world is facing right now. Anxiety. If you knew the statistics of the number of people that are on medication for anxiety, depression, for mental illness, for anxiety is an epidemic, particularly in kids and teenagers today. It's heartbreaking to realize the stats. And a lot of it's because of their devices and their video games and the bullying at school. There's so much rubbish. My generation suffers from anxiety. My parents' generation does. It's so bad for our kids these days. And we are the answer. We are the carriers of the gospel. We are the ones that can bring kind words. We can bring peace. We can bring love and joy and healing and deliverance. Jesus said, cast your burdens onto me because I care for you. Another version says, cast all your anxieties onto me because I care for you. A kind word cheers people up. Like my mate Watto from Shed Nights, he goes, I've never seen a bloke go backwards with encouragement. We are the people of the light. We are the ones that bring a kind word, that bring encouragement, that bring peace to shine a light in this dark world. Verse 26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. They say, the five closest people to you around your life right now will determine what you'll be like in 5 years. Whoever you hang around determines what you'll be like. If you hang around dogs, you'll end up with fleas. You hang around with turkeys, you'll end up gobbling. You hang around eagles, you'll end up flying. Amen? Be careful who you hang around. They can drag you down. Verse 27, the lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. In the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. Are you following the righteous path that God has called you to live? God has a plan and a purpose for everyone. God's destiny for us is to have a relationship with Him, to follow Him, to be led by His Holy Spirit in our words, our thoughts, and our actions, to live a life that He's called us to. But there's always a tug of war where the enemy, where the evil, the ungodly are trying to tempt us away, trying to drag us away. And you know, the Bible says there's no temptation that comes to us that God won't show us a way out. God will always lead us out of temptation. Amen. We prayed in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's black and white all through the book of Proverbs. You can go God's way and you can receive this, or you can go the enemy's way, the way of the world, the way of the evil. If I could just invite Cheryl to come and play some keys for us as we close in just a moment. Last week we had Pastor Tim O'Neill come and preach. Who enjoyed Pastor Tim's message last week? And the choir last week, weren't they amazing? Mangwaza Choir was an amazing week. Pastor Tim said something to me that has been messing with my head all week. He said, in the West, we preach the gospel and we make it so easy for people to become a Christian. We say, come to Christ, and you can have your sins forgiven, and everything will be all right, and just leave it there. But all throughout China, where there's massive revival, in Africa, in India, in the Middle East, where there's massive revivals happening all around the world, it's not just come to Christ, have your sins forgiven, everything will be okay. It's make Jesus the Lord of your life. Repent from your sins. Turn from your wicked ways. Surrender your whole life to Jesus. Make a sacrifice and give up everything and come to the cross of Jesus and share in the sufferings of Jesus. You'll get persecuted. You'll have trouble. You'll have trials. You'll have tribulation. But Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome the world. And I loved His challenge to us as leaders last week. He shared with some of us and He said, you know what? We've got to make sure we preach the full gospel. We've got to make sure people realize it's not just come to Jesus, tick that box, you get to heaven, everything's going to be okay. It's you've got to give your whole heart. You've got to surrender everything to Christ. And I believe this series in the book of Proverbs is teaching us how to live, how to relate to one another, how to honor God with our finances, with our words, how to work hard, how to honor God. It means our whole life is following Christ, not just when we put our hand up sometime, not just when we come to church on a Sunday, but 24/7, 365, we've got to be followers of Jesus, amen? Filled with the Holy Spirit, living a life to honor Him in every part of our lives. And I believe Jesus is coming back soon, amen? And He's coming back for a pure bride. He's coming back for a church that is in love with Jesus. And I want to just clarify something. I'm not just teaching you these principles today so you can try to be good and try to do the right thing. This life that's talked about in Proverbs is the fruit of someone that's in love with Jesus. If you fall in love with Jesus, all this stuff will flow out in your life. Whenever you start making the wrong decisions and wrong choices, the Holy Spirit will convict you and lead you in the right way. Amen? But it starts with love. Do you love Jesus with all your heart? Have you surrendered your whole heart to Him today? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, which speaks